right. Well, good morning. I am so glad to be here with you this morning. Let me just start by saying what a long wait it has been. I have to thank the church here very much. You were willing to wait for us. That's not something that everyone would be willing to do. You didn't have to do that. You could have easily have said, thank you, Mike, but no thank you. We need somebody here now. And you didn't do that. You waited for us. And for that, we are so very grateful to you. And so we're glad to be here. Let me add that we have also been waiting in anticipation to be here in Tulsa. We have wanted to be here for such a long time, and we're glad that we're finally actually here. We're Oklahomans now, and so we're just waiting for all of our things to arrive. It'll be a few more days, and so we'll eventually be able to move into our house, but until then, we're just glad to be here, and we're thankful for you. My prayer as I begin here at the 29th and Yale Church is that you will allow me to work diligently to earn your trust. I'm going to bring lessons of hope, of joy, and the truths of God's word. But I also want to challenge us. I want to challenge us in our faith, in our long-held beliefs, and to step up into being the kind of church that people want to be a part of. And so we'll go to Scripture for our final answers. But I want us to be people ready to live up to the challenges that I hope to bring to this congregation. It's going to take some work, and I acknowledge that. But I know that we can get to work, and I know that we can be ready to be busy and ready to reach the people here in Tulsa. And so that's my goal for you. And I wanted to express my love and my thankfulness to you as a congregation. We're just so happy to be here. We're looking forward to the wonderful cookout at the park today. That's going to be awesome. We're not used to the heat, though, and that's something that we're having to get used to. It's not terrible. We're just not ready. But that is something that we will be acclimating to as we live here, and so we're looking forward to that. But I think that being outside today will probably be the longest we've been willing to be outside since we've moved here. But we're looking forward to that today. We've heard really neat things about this annual cook-off. So, all right, as I begin my lesson, I want to start with this statement. Math has never been a subject that has made much sense to me. I'm not good at math. I can tell you stories about my experiences going through school with different math classes that I've had. In fact, one of the most difficult was my sophomore year taking algebra. You would think, oh, it's just algebra. No, for me, it's not just algebra. It was a different language. I didn't know what was going on, and I failed that class, and I had to come back for summer school to take that class again. Thankfully, my summer school teacher was really good at explaining algebra, and I got an A that summer. But there were some things that I missed out on because I had to go to summer school. And one of those was my favorite things in the world was to go to Bible camp every year. But because of summer school, I missed out on Bible camp. I grew up going to Sierra Bible Camp in California. Unfortunately, it has been destroyed by the fires that had gone through there this last year. But that was the camp that I loved and grew up going to. And I remember after that summer of summer school and them coming back from camp, and they had all these inside jokes that they were telling. And I was confused as they laughed about the most random phrases and things that they would say to each other. And I would ask questions, what are you talking about? What does that mean? And they would say things, you know, to try to explain it, but then they'd say, because I wasn't laughing, they'd say, well, you had to be there. You had to be there. It would make more sense if you were there. You know, we live in this age of social media where everything is posted online. All of our opinions, all of our thoughts, everything is posted on social media. You can go to Facebook and see what anybody is thinking. You go on Twitter and people are saying the most terrible things in the world that they would never say to a person in person. But because people want to know what's happening, we're on social media. And people want to hear what's happening, because when people get together, special things can happen. And we don't want to miss out. And so we post it on social media so everybody can see what's happening. We don't want people to miss out because we say things like, you had to be there. Well, this morning I want to talk about this phrase and this idea that we want to be together as a gathered people. Special things happen that we don't want to miss out on, but especially with Jesus, special things happen around gathered people. And so let's open our Bibles. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to read a little bit from there about this story of this paralytic. When we find Jesus throughout Scripture, he would enter a town and people would gather together because they didn't want to miss what he might do. He was constantly doing things that would surprise them. They were controversial. They didn't want to miss out on miracles. He was going to perform another miracle. They just knew it. And so they didn't want to miss out. You think about the feeding of the 5,000 people. They gathered together to see a miracle. And they had to see a miracle because the disciples said, we have to feed these people. They're going to stay here. They want to hear what you have to say. Really, they were there for the food, for the miracle. And that's why they gathered. But they gathered. They didn't want to miss out on the next miracle. They didn't want to miss out on the next parable. He was going to teach from some parable of something recognizable that they knew about. And they were ready for him to confuse them. But they didn't want to miss out. They didn't want to miss out on that next parable. They didn't want to miss out on the next teaching that he would give. So much so that at one point, Jesus has to get out on a boat and teach from the water because there are so many people in these crowds. You think about the story of Zacchaeus. He had to climb a tree in order to see what Jesus was going to do next because he couldn't see over the crowds. And he didn't want to miss out on what was going to happen next. Well, today we're going to find Jesus teaching in Peter's house. And so let's read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 together. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." We never saw anything like this. Here are these crowds of people gathered in Peter's own home, this disciple of Jesus, to hear what Jesus might teach next. And it was likely that they were all standing around in standing room only. As the passage says, they're out at the doors, at the windows. They're standing outside the house trying to hear what Jesus had to say because they didn't want to miss out on what he was going to say. This crowd was so huge, so many people. These four men brought a paralytic man with them. They knew what Jesus could do. They had heard the stories. Some of them maybe even had seen some of the miracles that Jesus had done. And they wanted to heal this man who was paralyzed and could not walk. These four men carried him on a mat. They tried to get into the door, and no one would let them in. They were turned away. They couldn't get to Jesus. So they decide, let's take him down through the roof. I can't imagine what that sight might have been like for those that were inside of Peter's home in the center to start to see dirt and grass and sticks and things falling from above to where there's a hole starting to form. You could imagine that people might start crying out, hey, especially Peter and his family, this is my house. What are you doing? You're destroying my house. The hole gets bigger, and they start to lower this man on a mat down through the hole to get to Jesus. And of course, Jesus, knowing exactly what to do for this man, says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, wait a second. Jesus, that's not what we lowered him down here for. Besides, that's blaspheming. You can't say that. We actually lowered him down so you'd heal him. The guy can't walk. And Jesus says, what's easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or to rise, take up your mat, and walk? Well, of course, everyone would agree. Well, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven. I can say that. Hey, your sins are forgiven. I don't know that anything has changed, though. I don't know that. But Jesus says, okay, I'm going to do the difficult thing then. I'm going to say, rise, take up your mat, and go home. And he does that. Now they know that Jesus has this power from God. Special things happen when people gather around Jesus. These people said, we never saw anything like this. The Holy Spirit is present around Jesus' gathered people. So not only do special things happen when people gather, but the Holy Spirit is present around Jesus' gathered people. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look at another story here of the early church. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, start reading there. When they were released, this is Peter and John, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them? Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Peter and John had been arrested for preaching Christ crucified and his resurrection from the dead. They were released because the authorities couldn't find any fault in them, not a real fault. In fact, their works, the things that they had said, they were shown with signs and wonders. But they wanted them to keep these things quiet. They knew that their teaching could cause riots in different places, so they didn't want them to talk about this anymore. But Peter and John go back and they tell of what they were told, and they couldn't promise to be quiet. In fact, they promised they would continue to preach these words. And these believers, they praised God together. They worshiped together. And the whole place shook. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word with boldness. I want to be that kind of church. I want to be the kind of church where we have the singing of this church, this auditorium, where it just blows the roof off this place. Have you ever been to a singing like that, where there's just hundreds and maybe thousands of people singing together, and the sound just reverberates off the walls, and it just feels like the ceiling's going to cave in because of the sound of the music? Or think about your favorite preacher, the favorite minister that you may have had in your life, and think about what kinds of messages that he may have preached, and hearing a message so powerful that it's bold and people are excited to go and continue to teach and continue to speak these words. I want people to say, you had to be there. How was your assembly this morning? How was church this morning? Well, I could tell you, but you had to be there. It was awesome. Finally, bold churches, they shake with the Holy Spirit today, much like the singing that I was talking about, and like this here in Acts, where the place they were gathered together was shaken. Bold churches shake with the Holy Spirit today. We need to be the source of boldness in our culture. We're called to proclaim the truth. You know, we took communion earlier. Communion is our bold proclamation of Christ's death until he comes. But again, the world would rather we not speak about these things because it runs counter to their values. Just this week, we had the Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. This was a ruling that has certainly made waves in our world and in our nation today. Honestly, it's never something that I thought I would ever see. I can believe something and yet know that it may not ever happen. And yet we have seen it happen in our world today. Today we must proclaim the truth even when it's difficult to hear, even when it's difficult to speak. This is not the end of our churches being bold with this one thing. There are other issues that we must proclaim truth about. I've worked with young adults for many years now, and one of the things that I've seen and noticed, and statistics will show this too, is that our young adults don't stay in the church oftentimes because they don't hear the bold teaching that needs to happen. One of the reasons that young adults give for why they don't come back to the church after going off to college is that they say, the church doesn't have answers for me. I can't find the answers for these things at the church. And so we as the church must be able to proclaim these truths to our young adults, to our college students, so that they know what we believe. They know what the truth is, and that when they return, they will continue to know what that truth is. And when they go out into the world, they're not surprised that the world has a different view on life than we do. We can't give up meeting together. Our gatherings are special. This is where we encounter the Holy Spirit and are filled. This is where we build each other up to have the strength to encounter those things that we will see in the world around us. These last 2 years, COVID has driven people away from our churches, has driven people away from the discipleship that people need with the one-on-one relationships that they get here in the church. I would encourage people, when they can, to come back. Come back to church. We want to see you here. We want to help you in your life. We want to see you come back. Some of the largest gatherings in the world, as I was studying for this, I went through and looked up some of the largest gatherings. There are religious festivals like this. Arba'in. This is a Muslim gathering in Iraq that happens quite often. And at the largest Arba'in, they had about 17 million people come for this festival. Another one is called the, and forgive my mispronunciations, the Kumbh Mela. This is a Hindu festival. They would come and wash in this water to hopefully be healed and to be saved. These Hindu people would come together, and in one day there would be 30 million people just in this one place. Overall, they had about 120 million people at the largest Kumbh Mela festival. I think about even funerals. The Ayatollah Khomeini in 1989, when he died, there were 10 million people that came to celebrate this man. And for fun, there's musical performances that happen too. I turned the sound off so you don't have to hear it. But in France, and this has happened many, many times, people would come together and gather as the largest bands in the world to come and play their favorite songs. This particular one is in France, and 1,000 performers came together to play their favorite Nirvana song, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And you look at the joy in their faces as they play this song together, and as the audience sits and listens to one of their favorite songs by one of their favorite bands. I see the joy in their faces. I see these large gatherings. But I think of us as the church, and I say, isn't our purpose and our message better than this? I think it is. I can enjoy music. I can enjoy a festival. But to come together, to be together for the purpose of Christ, that's a better message. I'm going to go away from this here. Yet we often find excuses to not gather. And even if we do gather, we find reasons to not be involved in the work of the church. Jesus Christ is the best reason for us to gather together. We should always show that we care about that. Let us be together to disciple one another. Let us be together to worship and to tear the roof off this place, where people are free to come and confess sins, not to be judged, but to be forgiven, and that people will come and have their wounds healed, especially the emotional and the inner wounds of the heart. Let this be the place where the walls shake from the Holy Spirit. I want people to come here and say, we never saw anything like this. And when people ask us, how was your church service this morning? You had to be there. It was awesome. I plan on giving an invitation every week here as the minister. Yes, there's salvation to be had for those that are not saved. But I also think about those who need prayer, those who might be hurting. We want to be a place where we pray for one another. And so if you need prayer this morning, maybe you're already saved. Maybe you need prayer. We want to be a place where we pray for one another. You don't have to come at this moment. This is a time of invitation that I'm going to give. Give me a second. But I want you to know that you can always come and ask for prayer. It doesn't have to be at this one moment. I hope to be around a lot and to be available for you to come and to talk through the life circumstances that you're having in your life right now. But I do want to give an invitation this morning. An invitation for prayer. If you need prayer this morning, we want to pray for you. Forgive me as I am still learning names. I've butchered a couple this morning already. I'm sorry. So please tell me your name. I want to pray for you. And if there's a reason or if there's something we can pray for you about as a church, we want to do that. And certainly, we want to help you if you have not been saved. If you've not been baptized, we want to do that too. We want to give you that opportunity to go in the waters of salvation. And so I offer that invitation this morning. We're going to sing we're probably not going to sing just one more song. I don't know, two more. So we're going to sing a song now, though. And if you'd like to come forward, I would love to pray with you and talk with you. But if you don't want to do it now, come find me at some point. Because after that, I'm going to go stand in the back. But even after that, I'll be at the picnic today. It's never too late. Prayer is always appropriate. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Let's stand together and let's sing.